Oh, you know, it's hard to come out of a moment like communion and just start sharing. But I got to be real with you all today, okay? Sometimes there's a situation that happens in my household, very much similar to one that happened recently. And here's the deal, okay? I'll be, say, walking by the living room where Embry, my wife, is, and as I'm going by, she'll be like, "Oh man, I got to tell you about this thing." I'm like, "Okay, I got somewhere to be, but this should be good." And so she'll start telling me this story. But what she'll do, she won't tell me the story. Guys, let me know if you've ever experienced this. She won't tell me the story. She backs up like 10 years. You know. And not only does she back up 10 years, but she takes me 10 years in the past and goes through every single character in this story's backstory to ensure that I can fully appreciate the story that she is about to tell me. But there's a problem, because as she elucidates on all of this, and I use a big word intentionally there, as she elucidates on all the backstory, my brain goes. Any of you ever been there with somebody? You know? Like, what's the point? Any day now, get to the punchline. And so inevitably, my eyes will just completely glaze over. Uh-huh. Oh, wow. And then sometimes it'll be like the story ends, I think. And so I'll like turn away and I'll walk and then I hear her voice continue. I'll be like, yes, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then after about 10 minutes of this, there'll be a pause and I'll like, oh, cool. And I'll just walk away and I'll be like, I need to grab something from the basement. I'll be halfway down the stairs. I hear her start talking again. I'm just like, I'm just keeping it going. I'm nope. I'm not going back, you know, and I get it. That's probably a problem on my part. I talked to Embry. I was like, so how does that make you feel? She's like, well, not super listened to or appreciated, but you know, I'm kind of used to it. So I figure I haven't held a grudge for 16, 17 years. So, you know, whatever. I know I can talk a while. Like, all right, good. As long as we're on the same page with that, you know. But have you ever had a conversation with someone? Maybe you're sitting down for coffee or you're at a get together and you're chatting with someone. Have you ever had a conversation with one of those people whose eyes glaze over if they don't talk for more than 10 seconds? Have you ever met one of those people? Right? They're talking and talking and talking. And finally, you're like, oh yeah, that reminds me of blah, blah, blah. And after like 10 minutes of them talking, you start talking. And they're just like, oh, look, I see someone over there. I'll be right back. And they don't come back, right? Do you feel valued and heard when you speak with one of those people, right? A lot of us, I think we often think that sharing faith, sharing about Jesus is all about what you say, right? It's all about taking the speaking role. But I want to tell you today that more often than not, what you say needs to be preceded by what you hear. Today, I really hope that as we look at this idea of like a lot of us, we talked about last week, right? We know that we should share this life-transforming news about Jesus that we've received and that we've experienced, but we just don't know how to share. And when you don't know how to share, let me tell you, you just need to bless. What is it to bless? Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and share. So last week we talked about beginning with prayer, the importance of prayer. And this week I want us to tune into this idea of listening. And the great thing is you all get to practice that right now as you listen. But why is it important to listen? Listen, if you can learn to just be quiet for a few minutes and truly engage with someone that is talking to you, it is going to revolutionize the connections that you make with other people. If you can be better than me, and you can engage when your significant other shares a very wonderful and important story with you, okay, mark that time code. That's when we're going to have your mom start listening to the sermon. Okay, Joshua? Just right there. No, like, if you can truly learn to listen, then I believe whether your goal in life is to share the good news of Jesus or it's just to actually connect with people on a deeper level, it's going to help you. So let's pray as we begin today. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you gave us these ears to listen with. Not only that, I thank you, God, that you listen to us, that you care about what we're saying right now. You care about the status of our hearts. And so Jesus, today, as we open the Bible and as we consider practical advice for how we can begin to engage with others and get to understand them better so that we can most effectively reach them for you, Jesus, today, will you ready us to hear those things and to apply them? God, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to go to the Bible now, okay? And the passage that we are looking at today is super simple. Like, super simple. So we're in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 3, and this is what we see. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. That's the entire verse for today. To answer before listening, or to put it another way, to talk before listening is folly and shame. Maybe you've experienced that where you started talking to explain something away or to explain something and the other person was like, what are you talking about? That's not what I was asking at all. Or you started telling them about some sort of thing that they actually hadn't been asking you to share and you just get that deer in the headlights look from them, you know? It's like, oh no, that wasn't what they were going to say. Listen to understand instead of listening to respond. That's fantastic. I like that. You should write that down. Answer before listening. That is folly and shame. We want to listen and then speak. And so today, what I really want to do is I want to take our time that we're going to have today, and I want to look at 3 points of listening. Why should we listen? And what does listening look like? And so the first reason that we want to listen is to create connection. Listen to create connection. And on that note, don't form your answers before they finish speaking. So as an introvert, one of the things that I find is quite often by the time that I've actually come up with something to say, the conversation has been moved along by all the extroverts. Have you ever been there? Everyone else is talking. You're like, oh, I know how I can apply that, or how I can, you know, interject into this conversation. And then now they're talking about basketball or something, and you're still talking about the weather. You ever been there? Yeah. And so sometimes what I found myself doing is I'll sit there and somebody will say something interesting, and I'll stop listening, and I'll just be like, oh, yeah, I could talk about this, but that would have those repercussions. So instead, maybe I should talk about this, yada, yada. And the whole inner dialogue goes, and then they're like, so what do you think? I'm like, huh? There was a question. Oops. You do that before? You got to listen to create connection. So how do we do that? The first thing that we need to do, and listen, this doesn't come from me, okay? This comes from Embry because she's a master listener. She has like random strangers come up to her and just start talking to her. And then at the end, they're like, you're such an amazing and easy to talk to person. And she's like, oh, cool. All right. So these are from the master listener. All right. The first thing that you can do to listen to create connection is ask questions. People love to talk about themselves and they love it when people show interest in what they have to say. But sometimes people run out of things to say. And so, yes, I don't want you formulating what you're going to say while the person's still talking. But if someone's sharing something, and you're like, oh, I'd like to know more about that, or I could know more about that, or that sounded important, I wonder if we could delve a little bit deeper. You file that away, and then when they take a pause, at the end of the conversation, as normal people usually do, you say, "Oh, can you tell me a little bit more about that? Like, you said that you've been going to school. What's that degree in? Where are you going to school? What's your favorite class that you've been taking? What's the hardest?" Like, you're just asking questions. You're delving deeper. People love that. And it keeps the conversation going. I think these are mostly pretty simple, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one, if that's all right. We good with that? All right. Second thing, listen to create connections. We've got ask questions, and then we have remember details. Okay? When I first got to Pincher Creek, I had to learn a lot of people's names and information very quickly. And so what I actually did is I created a note for every single person that I met with their name, with a phonetic spelling of the name so that I could pronounce it properly, and pertinent details that I could remember from the conversation. So that the next time that I saw them, I could go, "Oh, how's so-and-so doing? Oh, how's that going?" Because listen, you guys may think that I have a fantastic memory, but when it comes to conversations, no. Okay, you got to remember details. Remember the details. People care about it when you can remember things. Listen, if somebody has told you 6 times that they are married to so-and-so, and then you're sitting there 6 times trying to set them up with somebody else, either you have severe issues or you're showing that you're not really listening. You know? And so ask questions, remember details, and the third one, follow up later. This is a big one. When you go to someone later on, if you can remember details from the conversation, remember things that you asked about that were still ongoing, and you can go up to someone and be like, "So how did that ever turn out? Hey, let me ask you, like, has this thing gotten any better recently?" People feel valued because you're taking the time to know them. And you're expressing interest in them. So listen to create connection. Ask questions, remember details, and follow up later. We also listen to discover the need. Listen to discover the need. See, frankly, sometimes, especially the old way that a lot of us were taught to share the good news about Jesus, we're offering somebody like water when what they really want is a steak. You know what I mean? And so, like, we'll come up to someone and we'll just be like, "Do you know where you're spending eternity when you die?" And they're like, "Dude, I'm just wondering where the next bill's gonna get paid from." You know? I'm just wondering how I'm gonna get through this grief. And you're asking me about eternity? I haven't thought about eternity in an eternity. You know? It's like, come on, man. They're not interested. Right? And so then we're like, "Well, you know, there's this place called hell." And then they're really not interested. You know what I mean? They're like, "Ah, you're one of those." We got to know where people are coming from, especially these days, because the vast majority of people in our culture do not have the Christian knowledge that once existed in our culture. See, it used to be that guys like Charles Spurgeon and Billy Graham and all of these different evangelists and people that did these revival meetings and all of that, they would walk into communities that had all grown up in church and walked away, and they'd come in and they could talk about things that all these people knew, because after all, they all started in the church, and it was just a, "Hey, come back to what you already know is true." These days, you sit there and you're like, "Do you know Jesus?" And they're like, "Well, I say Jesus." You know? There isn't that knowledge. There isn't a foundation. And so if we come in trying to use tactics that expect a certain amount of knowledge or expect a certain line of thinking in the mind that people don't have, that isn't on the forefront, guess what? It's not going to work that great. You got to listen to discover the need. I got permission to share this story. You all know Christy, or many of you that have been here for the last while, you know Christy, and you saw her get baptized a couple months ago, and that was such a great a great experience for all of us to see Christy give her life to the Lord and engage with him in such a way. But Christy wasn't really a church person at all, as she just clarified. And she came out to one of our ministries, and Embry was leading that ministry, and as they were talking, Christy was sharing that her daughter Nalea's birthday was coming up, and she didn't have the resources to be able to throw any kind of celebration for her daughter. Completely broke. And so Embry didn't just gloss over it and go, well, you know this guy Jesus? No, she went, oh, well, we can help with that. Why don't you bring her to church on Sunday, and we'll get a cake, and we'll throw her a party, and all the kids can sing happy birthday. And in fact, it's in 2 weeks, so why don't you bring her the Sunday before so she knows the kids that are singing happy birthday. And then the week after, you know, we can throw a birthday party for her. She didn't just give Christy something that she wasn't thinking she needed. She addressed a need. And it led to an openness to discover more. Where previously, I think you would say it was fair, you actively avoided anything religious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So sometimes we just need to listen to discover a need. Discover, where are they? Put it another way, what needs in that person's life or community can you, the church, and or another Christian friend help address? See, we're always trying to give the gospel because it's so important to us. But what you need to understand is for those that don't understand the gospel, it feels like a sales pitch. But if we start from a place of, these people care about me. These people are helping me. Why are these people so nice? Why are they doing this? Suddenly there's a, hey, can you tell me a little bit about this? Because it's actually good news. It's not, hey, these are all the things that you need to give up because you're bad, but Jesus will make it okay as long as you're a good person. It's, hey, Jesus transforms lives. We care about you. He cares about you. And let me share what he did for you. You hear the difference? I don't know about you, but the first one is the kind of sales tactic that I don't want. You know? It's like, yeah. You know, it's kind of like when you're walking through the mall. You remember malls? You're walking through the mall and there's the person at the kiosk and they're doing like the facial scrub or whatever, and you're walking by, at least me as a guy, I'm walking by, and he's like, excuse me, sir, would you like to try this product? And I'm like, do I look like I need to try your product? Is that what you're saying right now? I don't really want to try the product. And he's like, oh, it's okay. If you like it, your girlfriend, she will look amazing if you take this. I'm like, are you saying that my girlfriend doesn't look amazing right now? You haven't met my girlfriend. What's your problem? You know what I mean? It's like that. I know some of us buy stuff from the kiosk sometimes, and it encourages them to think that that's an effective way of marketing. But let me tell you, it's not. Right? Anyways, I digress. Listen for where the needs are, and in a similar vein, listen to find where God's Spirit is working. Where is he already nudging? Where is he already poking and prodding? And we see this in the Bible, like a lot, right? Peter is praying, and God's preparing his heart on the one side, and Cornelius, this Gentile soldier, he has a dream where an angel from God comes and says, hey, go seek out Peter, and he's going to tell you about the good news. And so Cornelius sends some servants, and God's preparing Peter to go and talk to this guy he'd never associate with, and God's been working in this guy to go seek out a message that he'd never seek. And as Peter comes downstairs, when he's told that there's people there looking to bring him to their master, he's like, oh, I see what's happening here. Or how about this? Nicodemus, the Jewish scholar, right? He hears Jesus talking in the streets and everything like that. And then one day after dark, he comes to see Jesus. He goes searching. He goes seeking. What's the deal? How about this? The Athenians, right? Paul is going and he's looking at all these shrines they have to all these different gods, and he comes across one and it just says unknown God. And he's like, I feel like there's something going on here. And so he addresses them and goes, hey, you guys are all worried about like a God that you might have missed. Let me tell you about the God that you missed. Or perhaps the best example of this, Philip, one of the disciples he's brought along, suddenly finds himself running alongside chariot, thank you. Finds himself running along a chariot, and he sees an Ethiopian eunuch there, and he's reading the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament of the Bible, and he's puzzled. And so Philip is like, hey, can I help you? And they get into a discussion, and Philip begins to share who Jesus is out of the Hebrew scriptures. And suddenly the Ethiopian, he's not like, well, I'll see you later. He's like, oh, well, there's a puddle of water right there. What's to stop me from getting baptized right this moment? Listen to find where God's Spirit is working. Shayla Vassar is the coordinator, the leader of Alpha Canada, and she was speaking at a pastor's conference I was at about 3 years ago, and she said something, I couldn't find the exact wording in my notes, but this is a fairly good paraphrase of what she said. Evangelism is living slowly enough to recognize where God is inviting you into what he's already doing. See, we try to barge through the door, and sometimes that's needed. But what I'm sharing with you today is that more often than not, what needs to happen is through listening and observing and not rushing, we live slowly enough to recognize where God is inviting you into what he is already doing. And let me tell you, when he's already doing the groundwork, when he's already tilling the soil and getting things ready, it is amazing what happens when we begin to walk in that. People that you'd never imagine suddenly say, wow, tell me more. So right now, I want you to close your eyes. I want us to picture something here. I want you to picture, if all of a sudden in your friendship circles or in our community, talking to people about Jesus or a Christian going up and speaking to someone, if it was actually an exciting thing for people, I want you to imagine what it would be like and how it would change you if people loved talking to Christians, because they know that they'll be heard and loved no matter where they're coming from. I want you to imagine how different that would make your approach to sharing Jesus with others. I want you to imagine how much closer to what we read in the New Testament, in the Bible, how much closer to that would make you feel. Where you go out and people are like, tell me more about this. Because they'll be heard and they'll be loved. For people to feel that way, they need to be listened to. They need to be valued. So today, this is what I have for you. In your interactions with others today, especially if you were here last week, the individual that God set on your heart to pray for last week, take the position of a learner. Lay down your assumptions and practice being present in the moment. Take time and go, you know what? Unless there's a question, I'm not going to make this about me and my goals. I want to get to know them. I want to examine where God is at work, where there's a need, what he wants to do. That's what I want you to do this week. After all, when we do that, we're just following in God's footsteps. You know, God's a perfect listener. Sometimes we think, nah, he's not listening at all. No, he's a perfect listener. He desires you to speak with him. He loves you unendingly. In fact, the Bible tells us that while we were still sinners, in other words, while we were still actively rejecting God, while we were still saying, you know, I'm going to go my own way, live my own way, Christ died for us. He loves you unendingly. He loves you so much that he gave it all for you. He was willing to be humbled to the point of dying on a cross because of his great and undying love for you. And so let me tell you, I am serious in this place when I say that Jesus loves and accepts you just the way that you are. You don't have to clean up your life for Jesus to love you, for him to want to embrace you, for him to say, you're my beloved child. You don't have to get things ordered up. It doesn't have to be like when you've got your in-laws coming over and you have to clean the house and dust it because you know they're going to notice if anything's out of place. I'm not talking about my in-laws, by the way. Anyways, and it's none of that. Because Jesus loves and accepts you just the way that you are. He died for you, knowing who you are, what you've done, what you'll do. But here's the great truth. He loves you way too much to leave you there. And when you give your life to Jesus and you allow his Holy Spirit to move in, take residence, and you say, all I am is yours, Lord, he begins to clean house. He begins to go, yeah, you know, this doesn't honor me. This isn't the best way to live. This doesn't love others as effectively as it could be. Let's clean this out. And sometimes it's hard work, working with Jesus, working with his Spirit. Sometimes he's like, let's stop this thing. And you're like, I really like that thing. He's like, no, let's work through the process together. But let me tell you, no matter what happens there, no matter how difficult it is, what you need to understand is that's not a point of salvation. That's not a point of acceptance by the Most High King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of all who place their trust in him. Because we're told salvation is a free gift freely given by Jesus Christ to all who says, yes, Lord. To all who accept him. It's not a salvation thing. Someone walks into this church and they're doing things. You know they're doing things that you're like, I read about in the Bible. It says not to do that. That's wrong. And I know because I've had coffee with some folk and they're like, if they're doing such and such a thing, they couldn't possibly be a Christian. And I've actually looked at them sometimes and I've gone, you're gossiping. You couldn't possibly be a Christian. Not about it. He'll clean you up, but he loves and accepts you just the way that you are. He just loves you too much to leave you there. And so say yes to Jesus. Because whatever you're going through, he cares. Whatever you're dealing with, he's there. When you feel alone, know that he's in the room with you and his heart is breaking for you. So will you say yes to him? And will you take the narrow path and the hard road of following the commands of Jesus, who says, in two parts, love the Lord your God with all of yourself, everything that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. And what does he say? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And it doesn't end there. For behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So let's listen. Let's observe the need. Observe where Jesus is working so that we can effectively step in to the mission that he has given to every single one of us. Today, I'm going to ask everyone to close your eyes and bow your heads just one more time. No one looking around, please. And I just want to address the room and people online. If you're here today and you haven't given your life to Jesus, but hearing what he did for you, hearing how much he cares for you, hearing that you don't need to clean everything up in order for him to forgive you and to adopt you as a child of God and to begin the process of working out a journey in eternal life with with your heavenly Father. If you're hearing that and something in you is stirring and you're like, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to serve him. I need to follow him on this journey with God. Then what I want you to do right now, while no one is looking around in this room, I want you to slip your hand up so that I can be thinking about you as we pray. Thank you very much. As you're online there, I'd encourage you, go ahead and put in the comments or message the church and just say, yeah, I'm choosing Jesus if you want him today. And know that he is embracing you right now. I want us all to pray a prayer together. And this prayer is just a confession of our mouths of the inner reality of what Jesus is already doing inside of us. So will you repeat after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for dying for me, for your son Jesus, for his sacrifice. I know I don't deserve it, but you did it anyway. Today I'm giving you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform me by your love. I'm committing today to follow you for the rest of my days. And I thank you that when I mess it all up, you don't abandon me, but you embrace me and pick me up again. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart today for the first time, I want to welcome you into the family of God. We've got a card in some of the seatbacks in front of you. I'm told that we need to print more, and so we'll do that soon. It says, connect with us. If you check off the box that says, I've given my life to Jesus, or just gave my life to Jesus, and give that to Bobby in the blue shirt at the back there. She's got a Bible and a gift for you, and we'd like to get in touch with you and share some next steps. As well, online, go to ascc.life and tap on I've Decided to Follow Jesus. And fill out that form. We've got the same things that we'd like to do for you.